God is able to do immeasurably more than what we ask or imagine. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. That's a special verse for me as I think about Hillview Community Church. As I think about this journey that we have been on these last years, and as I think, even just personally, it's significant, as I think about my interaction with this church and how that has developed over the days. But it's also a verse that we've come back to a few times together as a church fellowship. I first preached on those verses, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, and before Hillview was even Hillview, actually, in May 2011, in a sermon called Dare to Ask. And it was given that title because a few weeks before that, I had been speaking at a little gathering, a small conference down in Dundee. And as they kind of do, sometimes they'll kind of interview the speaker before he comes to speak. And one of the questions they asked me at that conference, which I think may have been called Dare to Ask, actually, but one of the questions was, what's one of the biggest things you've ever dared to ask God? And I can't remember, actually, what I answered. But that question stayed with me. I wonder what you would answer for that question. What's one of the biggest things you've ever dared to ask God? The Amplified Bible uses that word dare in their rendering of Ephesians 3 verse 20. They put it like this: God is able to do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think. Super abundantly is a good word. We need to bring that word in more and more. I like it. So we spoke in that service in May 2011. We spoke about this idea of daring to ask. And we focused first on the question of why dare? What's this word dare getting at? And we looked at the fact that, yes, there is a humility implied there. A humility which is, I guess, demanded when you look at the context with which those verses 20 and 21 come in Ephesians chapter 3. In that chapter, Paul is speaking about bowing his knees. He's speaking about the riches of God's glory. He's speaking about praying that we would have strength to know the incredible love of God towards his children. He's praying that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. So there's a dare element to this. This is no glib matter. This is no throwaway line. This is no self-seeking formula. This comes in the context of incredibly rich work of God in his church. So yes, we dare to ask. And then we looked secondly at how we, yes, dare to ask. We are to be bold. We are to be persistent. We are to be like little children. We are to be faithful filled in what we ask of God and in how we come before him. We wrestle with the idea that we should dream big dreams with God and for God, and that we must bring our requests to God and we must keep bringing them. We are to dare to ask. And in that sermon I gave out, I had handed out little bits of paper, or I'd asked someone else to hand out little bits of paper as folk were coming into the room that morning. And I encouraged us towards the end of the message to sit for a moment and to write down one dare to ask prayer to God. So that was May 2011. But over the years since then, it's not always been easy to know how to engage with this issue of dare to ask. I say over the years, but actually within 4 or 5 minutes of me finishing that sermon in May 2011, it became clear just how difficult that idea can be. Because after me calling people to dream big dreams for God, reality struck. And I don't mean that in any facetious way at all. I mean that in a very genuine way. I came down from the pulpit and started to speak to people in the church and realized how much pain and hurt there was among us as a church fellowship. How people had felt that they had been praying for many years, but God hadn't answered their prayers. And what are we to do about that? Dare to ask, really? was the tone of many of the conversations that I had that morning. Reality struck. My whole sermon had been about God propelling us forward. And then the conversations after were folk coming in at the side saying, well, I'm struggling with something here. I'm not ready to go forward right now. I'm in the dust. I'm in the dirt. I can barely lift my eyes to God, let alone jump forward into whatever exciting stuff he's calling me to. That was some of the conversations. And others were saying, no, you're talking about going forward. But if anything, if I'm honest, I'm going the other direction just now in my faith. Static. Beaten down. There was a sense of mourning that morning. There was a sense of raging in the lives of some of those who I spoke to, a numbness, a hopelessness there. So I'm not in any way criticizing any of that. It just was the case that reality struck. There was a collision. Yes, God is able. That had been the whole thrust of the message. But I'm struggling here, or I'm going back the way. So the following week, we sought God's word for that scenario. What do you do when you can make no sense of what God is doing in your life? That's what part of the blessing of being family together, gathering week by week, is that we can do that. We can sense and seek where God is leading us. And if need be, ditch whatever sermon was planned and go there. And that was just small testament. That was a huge encouragement for me because for 3.5 years, I'd worked with Sold Out and I'd traveled around different churches doing a sermon at a time in little churches. And it was one of those lovely moments where God gave me such a thrill for the joy of preaching in pastoral ministry context, where you can not just do standalone sermons, but you can pray and seek a sense of, God, where are you taking us in general? And what does that mean for the preaching rota? That's a real gift. So through the various seasons of the last few years, we've come back to this truth that God is able to do more than we can ask or imagine. Or maybe for some of us, it's been more of a question. We've come back to this question, is God really able to do anything more than anything we could ask or imagine? It's not always been easy to keep that front and center because there's all sorts of other things that come up. There's church life takes on many different moments and different paths you're led down, but time and again we've sought to come back and remind ourselves, God, you have a plan for us as Hillview Community Church. You have work that you want to accomplish. You taught us to pray, let your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. So God, what does that look like in 2016 in Aberdeen and Aberdeenshire? That's what we've sought to come back to time and again in different ways. And there have been some lovely moments where God has done something in our church which has just reminded us, okay, you can go down this path, you can worry about this, you can worry about that, but there have been moments where God has reminded us that he is true to what he says, that he really is who he says he is, that he truly is able to do more than we could ever ask or imagine. So I was thinking, what are some of those moments in the last 5 years? I thought about getting the mic and wondering about, what are the moments in the life of our church that have struck you as, wow, God really is doing something special here? Can you think of any moments like that? We really should be able to. Now, here are a few that came to my mind. Anyone remember when Connie Cameron and Gracie Hood got baptized together? A 10-year-old and a lady in her 80s. And Connie's testimony of how, though a life of Christian service and ministry, how in her 80s she said that she felt more spiritually alive than she ever had done. Wow. Thank you, God. Anyone remember our earliest carols by candlelight services? And just that moment of the room being filled with visitors. So many of them, nothing to do with our church at all. Just visitors who had come along and beautiful sense of God among us. Anyone remember one of the testimony services? I'm going to just wave a little flag here. January 1st is a Sunday, and we're having a testimony service. Be praying now. God, what can I share that would remind my brothers and sisters that God is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine? Be preparing your testimony now. as you read the scriptures, be asking God, what do I need to share with my church family? Yes, that's in small group. Yes, that's in text message. Yes, that's in relationship with one another. But also January 1st, together in our service, okay? Anyone remember when Bill Ray testified just of God's faithfulness through more than 9 decades? And God really was true to who he said he was. Easter Sunday baptism services, packed full. Anyone remember when Ascend took the service and blew us all away by the spiritual maturity and the courage and the stories of how they were standing up for Jesus in hard circumstances? Do you remember the Sunday when Glenn preached on healing? We're in a little series on resurrection life. What does it mean? Yes, to be people of the cross, but to be people of the resurrection life of Jesus. And Peter Forbes shared his testimony of how God had healed him. We had this beautiful prayer time around the room, different prayer stations, praying for God's healing in all its different ways. Remember testimonies in our different services and in different baptisms and different moments where people have said, do you know what? My year has been horrific. Darkness, gloom, but God is with me. I'm finding God with me. He's sustaining me. He's helping me. He's getting me through. These are just a few, just of the ones that struck me, of moments where we were reminded, God, you are doing something special and precious among us as a church. And that is to say nothing about the week in, week out, faithful service and ministry that is going on all the time to children, to babies, to young people, and to people of all ages. And also, it's to say nothing about the, literally, I think, thousands of acts, well as the week in, week out acts of ministry that are always going on. There are also, behind the scenes, thousands of things just going on in private, ways that God is at work. So let me give you one example. I heard recently that off the back of our weekend away, one of our members sent a card to one of the teenagers in church to thank her for the way that this teenager had just quietly gone about caring for the children on our weekend away. And someone in our church had written a card just to say, you know what, I really noticed how you did that, and it really blessed me. Thank you so much. That is a participation in the love that the Lord Jesus Christ has for his bride, the church. This is God doing immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. That's a powerful thing, that someone would, in the busyness of life, take time to write a little card to encourage one of our young people. God is encouraging us and reminding us all the time that he is able to do wonderful things among us. God is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. Now, I want to tell you this morning about another significant reminder of that fact. And it was during our time on the church weekend away. Now, I know that a massively significant number of our church fellowship were not able to come on the weekend away or didn't manage to come on the weekend away, but I felt, I mentioned already that I felt it would be appropriate and helpful to share some of what happened that weekend, some of the stories that we can glean that God was doing among us, which I think are significant for us as a church. So I place this in the context of all the things that I've mentioned, these previous markers, the ongoing daily grind of ministry, and also these private things behind the scenes, and also just the other lovely reminders of God's amazing work at the moment, in Goalside, and in Alpha, and in ministry to the elderly, and in ministry to Deeside Care Home, and in Mainly Music, which once again, by the way, is bursting at the seams, having had a whole change of people attending that. It's a new group, and it's full again. You know, just so many different ways that we could speak about, but I want to share with you about the church weekend away. The church weekend away was one other very significant reminder of how our awesome God really will do more than anything we could ask or imagine. I think you saw some of the pictures there of the baptisms that happened on Sunday morning. But let me tell you, I don't think anyone, apart from God, was asking or imagining that there would be baptisms at our church weekend away.
He is able to do more than we could ask. Yes, there were prayers that it would be a significant time, but God did more than we could ask or imagine as Daniel Andrew and Derek McLeod and Brett Huntley were baptized. I asked Daniel on the Saturday of that weekend away, as we were thinking about his baptism the following morning, I asked him, is there a particular song that you would like us to sing on this Sunday morning? He chose a song called Your Love is Amazing, which was an oft-repeated classic from the IBC days, actually, pre-Hillview. We used to sing that song regularly. And there's a line in the second verse of that song which says this, Your love is surprising, I can feel it rising. And if I'm honest, I didn't always care for that line in that song. Your love is surprising. What does that even mean? And I struggled with it a little bit. But it just felt so right for that particular moment those few weeks ago, because over the course of that weekend, I felt that we caught another glimpse of the surprising love of God towards us, his people. We weren't planning for this. We weren't expecting it. God just broke into that time. He surprised us. He blessed us. He drew us back to remembering again that he is able. Yes, he is able to do more than we can ask or imagine. But that's not the whole story. That God is able is not the full picture. In the Old Testament book of Joshua, we see God's people entering into the land God promised them. And just like with me and with you and with pretty much every story in Scripture, this story is a story of the stumblings and the failings of God's people, yet the constant faithfulness and kindness and grace of God. So in chapter 7 of Joshua, we see that the people of Israel have ignored what God has asked of them. And they have this terrible failure as they attempt to capture this city called Ai, I think it's pronounced. And there are other issues in chapter 7 that God has to deal with. So they're in this really tough moment. You might say reality has struck, like it did that Sunday morning after my sermon. Yes, God is able, but then reality strikes. And in chapter 7 of Joshua, reality has struck. They have this collision, despite the promises of God that he would give them this land, this collision with the nitty-gritty mess of real life. And in this moment, the Israelites are going nowhere. But in the first two verses of Joshua chapter 8, we see that God is able. Let's read them. Joshua chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear and do not be dismayed. Take all the fighting men with you and arise. Go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai and his people, his city, and his land." God says, in this hard moment where reality has struck, God says, don't fear. I've got this. This city, its king, and any who would stand against me, they have already been. I love how it's past tense, right? I have given them into your hand. It's done. It's secure. It's certain. I have given them into your hand. I'm all over this. It's done. The victory is secure. This is the surprising love of God that we're talking about, that we see time and time again in the pages of the Bible, in church history, even in our little church, the surprising love of God. Though we don't deserve it, he breaks in to reveal that he is truly able to do immeasurably more than anything we can ask or imagine. That's our testimony. These encouragements that I've mentioned, this wonderful moment with Alpha, this incredible moment that we're in with Kintore, right on the edge of establishing a new community of faith, we don't deserve any of that. We are sinners saved by grace, and in our church together, we have meandered and wandered and stumbled. And yet the surprising love of God breaks into that moment and says, don't worry, I have given you Kintore. I have given you cults and build site. I have given you people who I have known since before the foundation of the world, who I, by my Spirit, am drawing to myself. I've done that. Don't worry about it. This surprising love of God breaks in and assures us that God is able to do wonderful things, even more than we could ever ask or imagine. But that's not the whole story, you see. It's not the whole story in Joshua chapter 8, because what happens in verse 3, things get really practical. Joshua sparks into action, and he goes on to give his people very specific instructions. He takes God's word and he acts on it. He puts it into practice. He tells them that there's going to be an ambush. God has already said there's an ambush, but Joshua gives more detail, tells those where to go to make this ambush happen. He tells them how close to the city to be. He explains what other groups of soldiers will do. He explains how the people of Ai will respond. He explains how this will result in victory for God's people. God's already said that, but Joshua is now taking action to make the victory that God has already assured, to make that complete, to make it happen. Joshua is taking action. So from verse 9 of chapter 8, we get the account of what actually happened in this victory over the city Ai. There's even more detail. Times are mentioned. Specific numbers of people are mentioned. Specific locations like ravines are mentioned. And some are to camp in the north and some are to camp in the west. And there's further detail about how they lure the enemy out of the city and they're to pretend as if they are beaten so that the people who are, you know, kind of in the flanking maneuver can come in and have the victory be secured. There's even a javelin that God tells Joshua to wave as a signal to the other troops. And it just goes on and on. So much real practical detail of how this work of God is to come about. And you get a little sense of this moment here and what's going on captured in verse 8 of chapter 8 in a little phrase that Joshua says to his people. It says there in the second part of verse 8, "You shall do according to the word of the Lord. See, I have commanded you." And there's this mix. You're going to do according to the word of the Lord. All you're doing is securing what God has already promised that he has said he would do. But that's not the whole story. There's commands that Joshua had to make. The army had detail to know, practical steps to be taken, ravines walked to and camped in, pretending to be done, javelins to be waved. The point is this: God was going to do what he promised he would do, but Joshua's involvement was key to that. The army's involvement was key to that. The Israelites had to work in beautiful partnership with God to bring about that which God was certainly going to do. And this is how God has chosen to do his work. He has secured victory for his people. He has promised that in the scriptures. And he calls his people into action in very simple, practical steps of obedience to secure the victory that he has already foreordained and guaranteed. And I want to come back and share one or two elements of what happened on the weekend away to see that reality in that moment. You see, it's no good daring to ask God to do amazing things and then doing nothing else. We dare to ask, and then we take steps of faith forward. He has ordained for his work to come to pass through his people, his church, who will partner with him to bring about that which he has said he'll do. And the whole point of this message is, yes, it's surprising. Yes, it's God's work. Yes, he's in charge. Yes, we're depending on him to do this stuff. But actually, he calls us into that. He calls us into that. So you have this guy called Daniel Andrew. God's hand is on Daniel's life from day one. Indeed, Ephesians 1 tells us, from before the foundation of the world, God has a plan. And it really is God's work. Dan made really clear in everything he said that weekend, everything he said to us, all about God's grace. He was brought up in a family who led him in God's ways until God at some point made him alive himself in Christ Jesus. But in all the wonderful ways that God was at work in Daniel's life, among other challenges, there's this one issue that has been a real difficulty for Daniel as his life has gone on. Daniel has never been baptized. Because being a very shy person, he's very anxious about the very public spectacle of baptism. There's this moment again where reality strikes, right? Dare to ask, but then it's hard. And this is something that has come up time and time again in Dan's adult life, but he has managed to push it down deep and ignore these questions and just keep going. Since he has grown up, there's been a verse which has come up again and again in his family. It was drilled into him, Philippians 4:13. Anyone know it? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And this verse played a huge role in Daniel's story over this weekend. And I don't want to rush over that. Because in some ways, so much of what God did through our weekend away is rooted in the reality of a life poring over one verse of Scripture that had been drilled into Daniel time and time again. That's what's happening right now in our children's church. They're learning truth about who God is. And Dan, over his years, had wrestled with this verse. Really? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? I don't feel like that was Dan's story. And it's important for us to realize how this verse unlocked so much of God's dare to ask power. How many hours had Daniel spent wrestling with that? Point is this, yes, dare to ask. Yes, pray big prayers. Yes, we must dream big dreams. Yes, we must celebrate God's power. But also, we have to put our phones away, turn our televisions off, get up a little bit earlier so that we can wrestle with verses of Scripture like Philippians 4, verse 13. So that over the course of years, we can maybe get to the point on a weekend away when finally it's true and finally it sustained Daniel through all the doubts and challenges that came that weekend. Do you see? Dare to ask. Yeah, but we got a partner in that. How's your Bible reading going just now? On the Friday night of the weekend away, during our late night worship session, Colin Ross comes forward and reads a reading from Ezekiel chapter 37, the dry bones that live. And it turns out that actually when Colin sat down, he kind of felt like he might have missed the boat in reading that particular passage. Maybe felt like he got the wrong tone. Maybe felt like he'd had too much cheese the day before and, you know, just got it wrong somehow. But in that passage, it's almost like all Dan hears as Colin reads from Ezekiel chapter 37 is this word dry. I asked him that this morning. I have asked Dan's permission to share this stuff, by the way. I said, how did you get to baptism from Ezekiel chapter 37? He said, well, I think Colin said something about, does anyone feel spiritually dry just now? And Dan knew, dry. This is an issue for me. I need to get wet. So there's something here, another little lesson for us, about Colin's boldness in coming forward to read that Bible reading. It didn't feel comfortable to him. He wasn't even sure that he got it right. Does speaking God's word to one another always feel easy? No. Are we always convinced that we get exactly the right passage in the right moment? No, but sometimes we have no idea what God is doing, even if we feel awkward or anxious about it. So we dare to ask God to break into the lives of our brothers and sisters, but sometimes we need to partner in that and read a Bible passage to someone. Point them to an aspect of God's character, even if we feel awkward about it. And also, there's just something lovely here about the precious whisper of God. How Dan gets from Ezekiel chapter 37 to baptism. That's the Spirit of God. And again, we just praise him and thank him for the surprising love of God. I remember one time I preached a message and one of our friends from West Hill was in the church. You know, I thought it was a particularly appropriate message for a non-Christian that day and was feeling really encouraged about that. But But it was like a line from the welcome that someone else had given at the start of the service, completely random Bible passage that had spoken to this person. I was a bit like, oh, great, thanks God for that. But the surprise and love, we have no idea. We have no idea if we're open and available. Saturday morning comes. Dan's thinking, great, new day. Friday was Friday. Let's just carry on with this weekend. It's going to be a good day. And Liam announces that his passage for that day is Matthew chapter 28 in the last few verses. Go therefore into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Baptizing them, and Dan thinks, oh, here we go again. Baptizing them, and then towards the end of that session, the last focus that we had was all about being bold, being courageous, taking a risk. Lunchtime comes, though, and Dan goes to join the queue with Sarah. But he knows as he's in this queue, I just can't leave this moment alone. So he says to himself, well, I'll go up to the auditorium, and if I find one of the elders there, I'll tell them what God is speaking to me and encouraging me about this weekend. And he walks in, and there's not one elder, but there's Scott, Colin, and myself, all having a little chat at the back of the auditorium. Now, I'd love to say at this point, so here is the lesson about the great availability that your leaders have of elders of Hillview Community Church. But here's the truth, right? Truthfully, Scott, Colin, and me were sharing in that moment with a pretty heavy heart on some things. We were sharing about one or two concerns that we'd had about a couple of things. There's a pretty good chance that I was being grumpy about something. There's a very good chance that Colin Ross was being grumpy about something. And it's a virtual certainty that Scott was. But here's the reality. We were not daring to ask for baptisms in that moment. We were reflecting on some potential difficulties that might crop up over the weekend. So here's the lesson in that. Thank God that it is Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is the senior pastor of Hillview Community Church. That he is at work among us, despite the stumbling failings of your elders and all of us. God is at work. And he breaks in and draws us back from our nonsense, our grumpiness, our concerns. And he draws us back to realize, I have work for you that you haven't even begun to dream about yet. Dan starts to tell us his story, how God has been speaking to him for years about this, and more intensely for days and for hours, and how he knows he needs to be obedient, how he feels safe in this slightly smaller group, how there's water here, his church family are here, and what would stop him from being baptized. And the answer was, there was nothing. There was nothing stopping Dan being baptized. And here's another point that I just want to underline. There was nothing stopping Dan being baptized. And there is nothing stopping anyone being baptized. One of the things we've talked, I made a comment a few weeks ago about a lethargy among us as a church. And I wasn't as clear as I would have liked to have been about that. One of the things, this is not going to explain the whole lethargy comment, but one of the things is there have been a few comments from members of the church, people new to the church, that there is something interesting about these gatherings at the moment in a Sunday morning in this room. For example, someone compared Kintore, the afternoon service, with the morning service of last week. Said it was virtually identical, but there was a greater sense of freedom, space, joy, openness in Kintore than there was here. And I think that's true. I think there's something sometimes about our gatherings here on a Sunday morning where there's perhaps a degree of tension among us. And, you know, one of the things that struck me about this weekend, the way, how many times have you heard me say, we would love to fill our baptismal tank more than we do? And then one of the wonderful surprises of God was that on the weekend away, there we go, three baptisms right there. So I just want to say really clearly, the reason Dan felt free to do that was because There was this relaxed atmosphere among us as a church. He was there with his family. He felt safe. And can we pray together? There's nothing I can do or any of us can do or the band can do that can make this happen. But God can. And if we come with the right heart, can we pray together that these gatherings would be a safe place, a comfortable place, a relaxed place where we can take a deep breath. And where, you know what, if someone needs to get baptized this week, let's do it. I really mean that. If you love Jesus Christ, if he is your Lord and Savior, and you come to me today saying, well, why shouldn't I get baptized? There's no good reason. We will get you baptized next week. Okay? Or whatever. If you need prayer, if you need help, can we be a community where in our times together we make space for one another in all of that? I've lost my point. Here we are. We need to be flexible. We want this room to be a place of freedom. That was another whole thread in this weekend away, this freedom and passion that there was in worship. And we need to pray that we would desire that here more, right? I know some of you are thinking, Martin, I already feel like that. Yes, praise God. Well, then God is able to do even more than that and more than we could even ask or imagine. So that evening, Dan tells his story. And again, all afternoon, he's reminding himself, I can do this because Christ has strengthened me. This verse again. And his testimony hugely resonates in the room that night. But in a particular and a unique way, it resonates with Derek McLeod and with Brett Huntley. Two men who have very different stories to Dan's, but with some common threads running through them. They are so moved by Dan's courage, by his urgency, that the next morning, after varying degrees of sleeplessness, they come and individually ask if they too can be baptized. And this is huge. Because here's what happened in this weekend. Dan, in being obedient to God, is now leading other people in discipleship, is now leading other people towards faithfulness to Christ Jesus on that narrow path that leads to fullness of life. Dan is facilitating the work of the Holy Spirit in bringing about the courage and obedience in these two other brothers of his. It's God's work, but it's through Dan's courage and obedience that God is doing that. Do you see? Dan had no idea he was doing that. But in his heart to respond to what God is doing, all of a sudden, two other members of the church are stirred and God's voice speaks clearly into their lives. How you respond to God matters not just for you, but for our community. Our demeanor in worship, our demeanor before God and in our community has an impact for good or for ill on those around about you in your community. Think about this. When you are considering whether or not to share something, whether or not to get baptized, whether to sing loudly or not, whether to sign up for a ministry or not, the decision is not just about you and God. He has called you into a people. There are family implications to our decisions, and they can be glorious, as they were on this weekend away. Daniel's act of obedience in many ways opened up this glorious treasure trove of God's activity over the course of that weekend. Dozens of ways that God spoke to people through a simple act of obedience. And it's the same here, week in, week out, not just in this room, not just in these gatherings, but week in, week out, as we are family together. How you respond to God matters for the broader community of faith that he has called us into. So, Dan and Brett then on the Sunday morning share their stories. Derek testifies of God's perfect love, which casts out fear. Brett testifies about wanting to go public and make clear once and for all that he doesn't journey through life on his own anymore, but he has a friend. And his friend is called Jesus Christ, who is spurring him on, sitting on a chopper, apparently. Any of you who are on the weekend away will remember that image.
God is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. He really is. But he does that by drawing us together as a people and empowering us with his Spirit. This is what Paul is getting at in Ephesians chapter 3. He prays for strength. He prays that they, as the church in Ephesus, would know who they are, that they would know the height and the width and the breadth and the depth of God's love for them. And then he prays this: now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, listen, according to the power at work within us. So this work that God is able to do immeasurably more is according to his power at work within us, in people like Daniel. And in people like you, as you respond through the power of the Holy Spirit, that's how God is doing his work beyond anything we could dream. Is that Alexandria who is saying a hearty amen? Amen, Alexandria. Yes. Yes. According to the power at work within us. He did that. By prompting a few ladies in the church to work tirelessly for a special weekend. By a man of God in the quiet place over many, many years wrestling with this lofty scripture, which he is determined to root in reality, in this collision of fear and concern, to make real the fact that Christ enables him to do all things, even that which is terrifying him. God does that by someone coming forward to do a Bible reading, even if he thinks he might have the wrong passage. By the faithfulness of a Christian leader who has sought God for the right passage to speak on. I wish I could tell you more about what Liam shared that weekend and how it dovetailed with what God was doing. And his talks are going to go up on the website. He did that by the one foot in front of the other obedience of Daniel Andrew in the miracle of leaving the lunch queue that Saturday. I mean, that's harder for some of us more than others, right? God is able to do more than we ask or imagine, even leave the queue for lunch to go and talk about something which terrifies you because you know you got to do it. But he's standing with Sarah. And he has to decide, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go and see if they're there. God does this work by the courage to be obedient and vulnerable and tell your story to spark others into faithfulness and obedience to Jesus. God does this by the choice to actually step into water with the whole church family gathered around. This is the reality of life. Is that we are to get wet. Christian life, that's one of the pictures of baptism. You're immersed. There's no hiding from it. It does impact you. It leaves you feeling different. You're changed. It's a choice. With the church family gathered round to get into a swimming pool. And there's another whole thread of work of God that he did here around the whole issue of family. Not just the impact that this moment had on these men's families. As precious as that is, one of the things that spurred Dan on is he's going to be a dad soon, God willing. And he said, what kind of dad do I want to be? I want to be a dad who's faithful and obedient to what God's asking of me or not. Not just their own families, but to those of all ages. Think what those men communicated to the children and young people of our church that weekend. Of courage. Of God being enough to get them through even really scary things.
And not just children, young people, but all of us. We really are called to be family. It's one of the things that we talk a lot about in this church, that we are family together. Someone saw a picture from the last day of our gathering of everyone who was there on the weekend away, and they made the observation that the young children that were being carried by adults, hardly any of them were being carried by their parents. They were being carried by other people around the church. And we are called to be responsible, not just for our own children, but for the children in this church, the young people in this church. We're all to care for them and love them and lead them well. It's a beautiful thing. Because this daring to ask happens in the context of the family of God, the church of Jesus Christ. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. It's about the glory of Lord Jesus Christ being known and seen and celebrated in the church, now and forevermore. The fact that God is able to do far more abundantly than anything we can ask or think is not the main focus of those verses. It's now to him who's able to do that, now to him be glory. We worship you, God. We thank you, God. Thank you that you are who you say you are. Thank you that the victory is secure. We give you all the glory and praise that is due your name. May that heartbeat never leave us as a church. That's another one of our values, worship. We're called to be worshipers of God, to give him glory in the church. He is able, brothers and sisters. What is he asking you to do? To spark into life through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in you the work which he has already assured is certain and done in Christ. What little step is he asking us to take? Let's just take a moment of quiet to consider that. Father God, in this beautiful collision where heaven meets earth, we see so often in the scriptures, my God, why have you forsaken me? How long, O Lord? How long? Even through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. There is this beautiful collision now where we are wrestling with different things. Hurt, angst, anger, fear, division, numbness, worldliness. It is only a beautiful collision because it is God who meets us there. Emmanuel, Jesus, our Prince of Peace. So I just pray against any spirit of fear, I pray against any work of Satan right now in this moment. I celebrate and rejoice and declare again among us the finished work of Jesus Christ, victor, Lord of life. We open our lives to the Spirit of God. And we ask you, God, what is this work that you're doing among us according to the Spirit? And I pray that we would dare to ask and that we would take the steps forward that you're calling us to now and in these coming days. Lead us on, I pray.